I hope you recognized our scripture reading this morning, because it's the same one we had last week, because we are in the same section of scripture. We want to talk this morning about being a light, or as it's rendered in these verses, the light of the world. We've been looking at some lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at lessons on the blessings that are described there in the first 12 verses a month or so ago, and followed that up with a lesson regarding the kind of attitudes that we are expected to have if we are to enjoy those blessings. Just last week, we talked about the first verse in our reading in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, how we are to be the salt of the earth, and with that salt, we are a preserving influence. We're also a flavoring influence. We make a difference in the world by being salt. This morning, we want to look at how we are to be lights unto the world, because the world as we live in it today, and as it has been since the days of Noah at least, the days of the beginning actually, needs light. It needs someone who is shining forth the light of God. And according to what Jesus says here in these verses, we are to be that light, those who are His disciples. And remember, this sermon, we go back to chapter 4 again, as we've done a couple of times. In verse 23, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. These chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew and their related counterparts in the other gospels are describing to us who we ought to be when we are citizens of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ are both terms that are used to apply to this kingdom. And the kingdom of heaven is a term that's used as well. We need to learn how to be citizens in God's kingdom. And I know many of us are saying here, well, I've been doing this for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Surely I know by now. Yes, you probably do. But it never hurts to be reminded. It never hurts for us to be refreshed. How many times do we have to be reminded by our wives or our husbands of things that we said we were going to do or we were supposed to do, that we didn't write down, or we wrote down and we forgot where we wrote it down, and so we forgot when it was time to do it? If we have to be reminded of those things, it's certainly important for us to be reminded of how to be citizens in the kingdom of God. And being a light for Jesus every day, to kind of coin a phrase from a song, is not an easy job. But it is something that is certainly necessary. The world is filled with darkness. People hide from God. They want to be away from God. And so we need to be that light because of the need for light in the world. Go to John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, and we will be reading through verse 21. I really wanted to start at verse 1 and go all the way through, but that would be a little bit of a lengthy reading. But we hear John 3:16 all the time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life, should not perish, but should have eternal life. And I'll go read it to make sure I get it right here in just a minute. But I don't like to stop with that verse, because we don't get the rest of the story. And we need to remember what Jesus says about that salvation and what that light is and why the light is there. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. I don't think anyone can read that passage with reasoning in their mind and come away with the idea that all that is necessary to be pleasing unto God is just believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Those verses tell us it takes some action. It takes a change in our way of life. We have to do that which is true. We have to come to the light and walk in the light. We have to leave behind the evil deeds that are done in darkness. And the world around us is pitch black. Pitch black. Every time I do a lesson on the light, I want to have somebody have all the lights turned off right when I say that. And then somebody turn on a little bitty tiny light somewhere. To visually emphasize that. But that would be a little theatrical, so I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you, we were traveling when I was a young fella. My family, we went, I think it was Mammoth Cave, I'm not sure. But we went traveling when we were young, and I know it's when I was young because Jeff or Tim won, Dad was carrying them through the cave. And we got down in the bottom of those caves, and they turned the lights out. Unless you've been in a cave like that and they turned the lights out, or you went into a cave and turned your flashlight off, you don't understand the kind of darkness that is there. You can't see your hand in front of your face because there is no light. That is the world without the light of Christ. So, when I say the world needs light, that's what I'm talking about. The world on its own is black darkness. The only light that is in this world is the light that comes from God, literally. Both physical light and spiritual light. The only light we have is light that comes from God. Somebody says, no, I got electric lights in my house. Where do you think that electricity comes from? Trace it on back, and you're going to find it came from God. Every time. I don't care how you get it. And spiritual light is dependent upon us. We're the light bulb. We're the lighthouse to the world. Many years ago, I don't know how long ago. Well, it couldn't have been more than about 25 years ago because I saw it on the internet, so it can't be too far back. But I saw an image of a lighthouse. And whether this was an actual lighthouse or an idea for a lighthouse, I can't say because I looked again and I couldn't find it anywhere. But we know what a lighthouse is shaped like. Big, tall, skinny building with the light at the top. Well, this image was of an ancient lighthouse. I thought it was the lighthouse of Alexandria, but I went red and I couldn't find anything about this being how they did it to begin with, but they're confused about some of that anyway because it's gone. But the design was they built a big old bonfire down at the bottom of the lighthouse. And up at the top, they had a mirror. And they could rotate that mirror. And what I remember of this and reading the articles about it is this was one of the first designs for a lighthouse with a revolving light. But notice it didn't have the light at the top. The light was reflected from inside the lighthouse. They had a fire down there and its light came up and hit that mirror and the mirror was angled and turned in such a way that it revolved that light around. Just like you see from the airport lights, except not different colors. And I always thought that's an excellent representation of how I am a light. The light is not me. The light is God within me, reflecting out to the world. We are light. Ephesians 5 verse 7, therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, beginning. Do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of light, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Both of those passages emphasize the idea that I am light to the world. The light of God, the light of Christ, should shine through me in such a manner that everyone knows that I'm exposed to Jesus. That Jesus is within me. That He is my guiding light, and that I am trying to show that light to everyone else. In John chapter 1, or 1 John chapter 1, I should say. 1 John chapter 1, probably one of the passages we think of almost automatically when we think about being light. Beginning in verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's where that image of our reflecting God's light really stands out. If you go into a dark room and you hold up a mirror, there will be no light reflected. None whatsoever. But if you walk into a room that has light and you hold up a mirror, that light is reflected everywhere. No matter where you turn it, that light is reflected by that mirrored surface. We'll put an image in your head. That's how the glitter balls work. They reflect light out. Some of y'all probably don't even know what a glitter ball is. You're not old enough. Got to go back to the 70s for that. If we walk in the light, we can reflect the light. But if we walk in darkness, there will be no light coming from us. God is the light, and He illuminates us so that we shine on others. And we need to remember that our responsibility is not to be our own light. Our responsibility is to shine forth the light of God to a dark, dank world. We don't have to try to enhance the light or glamorize it. The gospel doesn't need to be illuminated by our wisdom. Our wisdom needs to be illuminated by the gospel. We are set up, as Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 5, as a light on a hill, as a candle on a candlestick. We are to be seen reflecting the light of God everywhere. The danger that we fall in is hiding our light under a bushel. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And I don't have 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy or Titus in here, but we've just been studying those in our Wednesday night Bible class over the last few months. And Paul multiple times tells those men to teach others that they need to stay away from the things that would darken their life. Don't get caught up in vain philosophies and doctrines and teachings of men. Keep yourself focused on the Word of God. Always, these things do and teach. These things practice in yourself, and you will save both yourself and those that hear you. Here Paul says, don't get covered over with the ideas of men. Don't let philosophy, deceit, human traditions, don't let those things dull your life. It's like lighting a lamp and then setting a bucket on top of it. We need to shine. We need to be seen. Our light needs to be evident. James speaks of something else that can dim our light. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week, and we won't spend a lot of time rehashing that, but remember, the problem with salt that makes it not salty is it gets adulterated with other things. It gets covered over, and therefore it can't work, and the same thing can happen with us as a light for God. We can be so overwhelmed with our passions, with our trials, with our struggles, with our families, with our heroes, with our hobbies, that our light cannot shine through. When one of your friends sees you or talks to other people about you, what stands out? What is the thing about you that they tell others? She's a great Razorback fan. He loves computers. He's a hunter. He plays golf. He's a musician. A seamstress. Now, in and of themselves, those things are not bad. But as Christians, if that's what stands out, could it be that that's a basket, at least partially, over our light for God? I can be described with many names. I've been called a lot of names too. One or two of them have been flattering, most of them not, by the way. But what I want to be seen as is a child of God. I want people to know that I am one of Christ's disciples because of what they see of His light shining in me. Have I always been good at that? No. There's some times I've been terrible at that. But I hope that I'm gradually clearing out that globe on my lamp and it's getting to shine more and more. And I hope that for each and every one of us. But it's not something that's going to happen all of a sudden. I mean, if you've got a hurricane lamp or one of them old railroad lanterns or whatever that's got a globe and you've used it very much and you haven't taken that globe off and cleaned it, you may not realize how much it's darkening the light. Are we taking the time to investigate ourselves against the Word of God and see if we are still shining forth the light of Christ? Or if there are things that are in the way, that are hindering our light? No. That's what that image of a basket over the light is. Or hiding it in a corner. Speaking of hiding it in a corner, remember, we are a light of the world. I know some folks that are fantastic lights in their home. But are they a light of the world? Is that light shining out to the people around you? Jesus told his apostles, and that through his instruction to his apostles, he told us, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Mark 16, verse 15. If you go over to that similar passage in Matthew, he adds, teach them the things I've taught you. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. That prophecy by Isaiah. He mentions Zebulun and Naphtali. They were some of the tribes that were in the northernmost part of the kingdom of Israel, the most removed from Jerusalem, physically and spiritually, it seems, because of the studies that we've done through there. We see very little about the people of the far north returning to Jerusalem. I mean, I know they're included when it says all Israel, but you know, a lot of those all Israels were after the northern kingdom had already been dispersed amongst the nations. But Isaiah's prophecy was from that region that is full of darkness, that's surrounded. That's the region where they didn't get rid of a lot of the nations that were already there. That region that was surrounded and filled with so much darkness, a light shined forth there. And Matthew tells us, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. His light shined there. And we know the rest of the story. That's not the only place he shined from. In fact, we know that from the first part of the book of Acts, that light shined in Jerusalem and spread to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Go into all the world, because all the world needs light. And Jesus shines today just like he did in those days that fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He shines today through his family, through God's children, through the citizens of the kingdom that he established, that he is ruler over. Peter told those who gathered on the day of Pentecost that the Jesus they had crucified now sat on the right hand of God and was made Lord and Christ. He was ruler and Savior. He's king in the image of David and the kingdom that followed after David's kingdom, and he would reign forever. And through the citizens of that kingdom, he still shines in the world as long as we are shining. And so we need to shine the light. We shine that light by the way we live, by our deeds, by the example that we set, and by the truth that we preach. And when I say we preach, I mean we, not just preachers. We all are proclaimers of the gospel. We talked about that word evangelist a little bit a couple of Wednesday nights ago. We are all proclaimers of the gospel. In that sense, we're all evangelists for Christ. We are all light bearers. Paul told the Roman brethren, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Notice he doesn't say make no provision for the flesh and stop. He says make no provision to gratify the desires of the flesh. Our focus needs to be on Jesus, on wearing Jesus, on putting on that armor of lie. Or, as Paul expressed it to the Ephesian brethren, putting on the armor of God, that every single piece has a reference back to the Word. The Word of God is revealed to us. We need to live the Word, not live in the things of the world, but live Christ. We need to do the deeds that are the deeds of light. We need to walk properly, getting rid of the works of darkness. We could go over to the book of Colossians and read there in chapter 3 how we are to put off and then put on. Put off lying. Put on truth. Put off fleshly desires. Put on godly desires. I know that's not exactly what they say, but that's the idea is found there in Colossians chapter 3. If then you are risen with Christ, put off the old and put on the new. Put on the armor of light. Walk in the deeds that would proclaim Jesus. Walk in the fruits of righteousness. The fruits of the Spirit. The characteristics and attitudes that Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1. The things that Paul discusses in Galatians chapter 5, where he gives us the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. We get rid of the works of the flesh and we put on the works of the Spirit. The love that's described in the Corinthian letters when he says, I show you a better way, even better than the works, the miraculous works of the Holy Spirit, which he goes on to show would pass away. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, Paul said, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. I can't help but see the reference back to the very beginning when he said, let there be light. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Are we putting forth the face of Jesus Christ? When we go out and take care of our business, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, whatever it may be, can people see Christ in us? I start to say I hate to use this example again, but it sure is a vivid example that most all of us run into at some time or another, either in our own lives or what we see in others. How do you act when you're the third person in line in the checkout at Walmart and they're counting out their money in pennies? Or they have to go get a price check because somebody didn't make sure they got an item that was actually marked with a price or in the computer. How do you react when you walk up to the checkouts and all the lines are busy or there's no checkers there and you got to go through the self-checkout? And it doesn't want to take your card. Or more likely, it won't take your cash. That's the more likely scenario, man. How do you react when you're going down the interstate highway and you're starting up that hill and that semi-truck pulls over into the left-hand lane so he won't get bound up behind the three trucks that are in front of him and you have to come off the cruise and do 55 up that hill? And just as soon as he gets back over, what do you do then? I know what I've done. Stomp it to the floor. Is that really the right example? Is that Christ shining in me? I'm going to try to remember that next time I get in that scenario. It's hard. What do you do when the band director or the coach says, we got a performance or a game on Wednesday night? Or on Friday night, and that's when the gospel meeting is scheduled. What do you do when your friends say, let's go watch this movie, and it's the best movie that has ever been made in all the world today? And you go look and you find that it's rated R or PG-13, and you go look and see, and it's got language that your mom and dad and you yourself have told others you ought not use. What do you do? And the boss says, let's go out and get some drinks and talk about things at work. How do you react? And what does that show to the people who are around you? There's so many other places, so many other instances where we can dim our light by what we do and say. And since we are the only light, or as the song says, we are the only Bible that at least some in the careless world will ever see. Can they see Jesus in me? I think that's the question we need to ask ourselves when we read this passage where Jesus says, because you want to be citizens of the kingdom, you need to understand that you are the light of the world. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, later on in this sermon, he says, when you give alms, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. When you pray, go hide in your closet. Go pray to God in secret, because He will hear you and He will answer your prayers. Don't do your deeds to be seen of men. Do your deeds so that men can glorify God because of what they see in you. Again, it's not my light that I'm shining. I'm shining the light of God by doing the will of Christ, by following the Word. I bring glory to God. How I react in that Walmart checkout line says something good or something bad about God to anybody, including myself, that knows I strive to be a kingdom citizen. God is the light. Christ is the light. They are the ones to be glorified. As disciples, we just reflect the light of God. And if we don't have that burning fire deep within us that is stoked and built by the Word of God, one of the things I did read when I was looking for that lighthouse stuff is how they did lighthouses, and they were talking about having fires in a furnace up in the top of the building. And they had to constantly stoke that fire, because that fire had to be bright so it could be seen. And even after they switched to gas, I was reading, it's talking about it took a light keeper and two assistants to keep the oil flowing so that light could burn. Can you imagine how many it took? How much time and effort was put forth to keep the wood or coal coming so that fire could burn? So those ships would know where the shore was. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the way. I know it's probably not in right order. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue. You may say, you ever come back off of fishing out on the lake and it's already gotten dark. Come back up to find out the dock is dark. Nobody had a light there. And there's no full moon. In fact, it's cloudy. There's not even any stars. And the boat ramp is shadowed between trees. Don't you wish somebody would turn their headlights on so you'd know exactly where it is? But you come up real cautious. You're real careful, concerned, real slow, so that when you bump into something that you know you're going to bump into eventually because you can't see where you're going, you don't tear something up. How much better to be a light to those that want to come to God. To shine a light out there that would encourage people to come. Sometime when you're outside and it's dark, turn your porch light on. Not one of those yellow ones. Turn on a real bright white porch light. Step back. Because you're going to have moths and bugs and all kinds of stuff coming up on you. We've all experienced that at some time or another. The light attracts. We never know who may get called by our shining light. As we glorify God, as we exemplify Christ walking through this world, as we live the gospel, the truth of God's Word, being light in this dark world. Draw people to God. Am I a light? Do I let my light shine? Or has my globe become dim and smoky? Have I allowed a basket to get between my light and the rest of the world so that they can no longer see Christ shining through me? If that's the case with you this morning, we encourage you to change. I encourage you to clean that globe. Get into the Word. Find the things that will help you to refresh your light and to make it stronger so that it will shine to a dark world. Our world will not get lighter on its own. It will get darker. And many of us have seen that darkness creeping in from the edges. And if we don't continue to shine our light, one day it will overwhelm and all will be darkness. And great will be that darkness and we will suffer as a result of it. Because we will be very encouraged to become a part of that darkness instead of continuing to stand as a beacon for God. And that would be terrible. That would be terrible. I want you to know, Jesus is more than willing to take you no matter what your condition is, as long as you come to Him. As long as you submit to His will. He'll take anybody under any circumstances if they will repent and become a light for Him instead of continuing to live in darkness. Won't you walk in the light as He is in the light? If we can assist you, if you're a sinner who has not come to the Lord, we encourage you to come to the Lord. Submit your life to Him. Be His child by being obedient to His Word. You believe in Jesus? You believe He died on the cross for our sins, that He's the very Son of God? Then you can be saved. Just change your life to follow His Word. Confess your belief in Jesus and you can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away, coming up out of that watery grave, calling on the name of the Lord, child of His, having been reborn. Putting off the old and putting on the new. If you've done that in the past and you find you've let things get in the way of your light, we urge you to correct that. Cleanse it with the Word of God. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, please forgive me for what I have done. Help me to overcome these things. I want to leave that behind me. God, forgive me. I am turning from them. And he's guaranteed he will. In fact, John tells us he'll wipe them away as if they've never been. If you need help in that, we're here. Why not come while we stand and sing for encouragement? Yeah.